Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It all started with a song Rachel knew by heart. But when she glanced at the title on her iPod, it wasn't what she remembered. The words weren't wrong. They simply didn't belong. And that's when the unease crept in. What began as a subtle glitch in the mundane soon unraveled into a series of inexplicable events during what was supposed to be a relaxing trip to Spain. Shifting objects, blankets shaking on their own, and a room that seemed to defy the laws of nature with its icy grip. All of it pointed to something just beneath the surface of reality. But was it all in Rachel's mind, or had something sinister followed her into the heat of the Mediterranean? Tonight, we unravel Rachel's chilling letter, piecing together the fragments of her strange, unshakable memories. A tale where the ordinary becomes extraordinary and where questions are left unanswered. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've never been one to believe in ghosts or the paranormal, but after what I experienced, I'm left wondering if there's more to this world than I ever imagined. I wasn't sure whether to share this. It feels surreal even as I write it, but something inside me keeps urging me to get it off my chest. Maybe you can help me make sense of it. It started a day before my family trip to Spain. I was home sorting through my music collection to load some CDs onto my iPod. There was nothing strange about the day. I wasn't tired, distracted, or feeling off. As I worked through the playlists, I came across one of my favorite songs, Whiskey on a Sunday. Except when I glanced at the track title on the back of the CD case, it read Whiskey on a Saturday. I thought it had to be a printing error, but then I noticed the same thing on my iTunes library. I even loaded the song onto my iPod, and there it was again, Saturday instead of Sunday. I'd known that song for years, and I was certain the title was wrong. Still, I convinced myself it was nothing. Maybe I'd misremembered. That night, I stayed over at my uncle's house. We were flying out early the next morning, and it was easier to leave together. I was in my cousin's room getting settled, looking for a spot to charge my phone. Under her bed, I found an adapter with four outlets, three empty, one in use. I left the room for maybe a minute just to grab something from the bathroom across the hall. When I came back, two of the outlets were now occupied with plugs. I stared at it for what felt like forever. I couldn't remember hearing anyone come upstairs, and the plugs looked different from the one I'd just seen. My uncle was already in bed, and my cousins were downstairs watching TV. I told myself I must have overlooked them and tried to sleep, but the unease stuck with me. The next morning on the plane, I pulled out my iPod, eager to distract myself. I scrolled through my playlists and landed on Whiskey on a Saturday. As the song played, I stared at the title, trying to convince myself I'd imagined the change. Then right before my eyes, the word Saturday flickered and shifted back to Sunday. I froze. It wasn't just a mistake, it changed. I blinked, rubbed my eyes, and stared harder, but it stayed as it always should have been, Sunday. My pulse was racing, and I actually typed the experience into my iPod notes, just to make sure I wasn't losing it. Things only got stranger once we arrived in Spain. One afternoon, while my uncle and cousins went to a supermarket in the next town, I stayed back in the apartment to rest. The room was small but cozy, with a double bed near the window and a closet in the corner. I closed the windows and doors. It was chilly for Spain, and I wanted to keep the warmth in. I lay on my side, facing the wall, wide awake, but trying to relax. That's when I heard it. The unmistakable sound of blankets being shaken, loud and frantic, as if someone were fluffing up a duvet right behind me. My heart raced. I squeezed my eyes shut, trying to convince myself it was nothing, but the sound continued, almost daring me to look. Finally, I mustered the courage to turn over, and the room was empty. The blankets on the bed behind me were perfectly still. I sat up, my heart pounding. The air felt heavy, and the silence that followed was deafening. I bolted for the front door, propping it open with a towel just to feel less isolated. I didn't care if anyone saw me, I just needed to be closer to people. That night, the three of us slept in the same room, but it didn't feel any safer. The apartment was freezing. We turned off the air conditioning and closed all the windows, but it was as if the cold had seeped into the walls. I woke up shivering and heard the familiar hum of the air conditioner. I looked up, and the flaps on the unit were wide open, but the red light, the one that indicated it was on, was off. I could feel the cold air blowing against my skin, but it didn't make sense. No one else had touched the remote, and the unit should have been completely off. I stayed awake until the others stirred, staring at the air conditioner and willing it to make sense. The events that followed only made me question everything even more. The next day, I tried to brush off the previous night's events as exhaustion or nerves. I told myself I was overthinking things, but deep down, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. Unfortunately, the strangeness wasn't over. It was only just beginning. That afternoon, I was the last to leave the apartment. My cousins and uncle had already headed to the pool, and I stayed behind to put on some sunscreen. I remember clearly I placed the bottle of oil on my bedside table before I walked out. When I got to the pool, I joined my family, and none of us returned to the apartment until later that evening. When we walked back in, I went straight to my room to grab the oil. It wasn't where I'd left it. Confused, I scanned the room, and that's when I saw it, sitting on top of the dresser on the opposite side of the room next to the mirror. I froze. There was no way I could have put it there. I hadn't even been near the dresser that day. No one else had been in the apartment either. My uncle had the only key. I called out to my cousins, asking if they'd moved it as a joke, but they swore they hadn't. It didn't feel like a prank. It felt deliberate. I decided not to mention it again. The uneasiness in my stomach told me it was better to leave it alone. Later that evening, I was sitting in the apartment lobby, scrolling through my iPod while the others were in the room getting ready for dinner. I had a glass of ice water on the table beside me, the cubes still clinking softly in the warm air. Then, out of nowhere, I heard a loud, sharp sound, like someone shaking the glass. Startled, I looked over and saw the ice inside the glass vibrating, almost as if the glass was alive. I stared at it, unable to move. There was no one near me, and the table wasn't in contact with anything that could have caused the vibration. I thought maybe the ice was melting, but this wasn't subtle. It was loud, deliberate, and lasted longer than it should have. I reached out to touch the glass, and the vibrations stopped instantly. The water was still. I didn't know what to think, and by this point I was desperate to go home. Spain no longer felt like a vacation. It felt like a test. On our second to last night, I experienced something that has haunted me ever since. We were packing up, getting ready to leave early the next morning. I was in the bedroom alone, folding clothes on the bed, while my cousins were out in the living room. As I reached to grab my suitcase, I caught movement out of the corner of my eye. I turned toward the mirror above the dresser and froze. For the briefest second, I saw a shadow move behind my reflection, a figure tall and indistinct gliding across the room. My heart leapt into my throat. I spun around expecting to see someone standing there, but the room was empty. I stood there paralyzed for what felt like an eternity. I didn't know what to do. Every instinct told me to run, but I couldn't bring myself to leave. It felt as if the air in the room had shifted, thicker, heavier, charged with something unseen. When I finally found my voice, I called out for my cousins, and they came rushing in. I didn't tell them what I'd seen. How could I? They wouldn't have believed me, and I wasn't even sure I believed myself. The flight home felt like an escape. As we lifted off, I glanced out the window and whispered a quiet prayer, hoping I was leaving whatever it was behind. But even now, I'm not so sure. Since I've been back, I've caught myself glancing over my shoulder more often. I still hear faint, inexplicable noises at night. The sound of something brushing against the walls or footsteps in the hallway when no one else is awake. I don't know if it's my mind playing tricks on me or if something followed me home. I keep asking myself, was it all coincidence? A product of stress and exhaustion? Or was there something in that apartment, a presence I couldn't see but could feel? I don't think I'll ever have the answers. Thank you for listening, Tony. I hope my story finds you well. And maybe you can help shed some light on what I experienced. Sincerely, Rachel. Rachel's story is one of those that lingers like a faint shadow in the corner of your mind, a whisper of something we can't quite explain. On the surface, her experiences could easily be chalked up to stress, fatigue, or even coincidence. A misplaced object, a cold draft, or a song title glitch, each event on its own seems minor. But when you weave them together, they paint a picture of something much harder to dismiss. Psychologically, we know that the human brain is a powerful storyteller. Under stress, it can misinterpret stimuli, filling in the blanks with fears and assumptions. The phenomenon of pareidolia, for example, explains why we see faces in the shadows or hear patterns in white noise. It's possible Rachel's unease, starting with the oddity of the song title, primed her to notice things she might otherwise ignore. But there are elements here that defy easy explanation. The air conditioner that seemed to run without power, the ice vibrating in the glass, and that shadowy figure in the mirror. These aren't the kinds of things you can just brush off. Could it be that Rachel stumbled into an environment with an energy we don't fully understand? Some believe that certain places act as conduits for the supernatural, amplifying the presence of spirits or residual energy. Then there's the idea of attachment. Could Rachel have unknowingly attracted a presence, something that latched onto her through a seemingly insignificant moment, a flicker of a song title, on her iPod? Paranormal researchers suggest that entities often attach themselves to people rather than places, drawn by an individual's emotional state or energy. If that's the case, it's chilling to think this could follow her, even now. Ultimately, Rachel's story leaves us with more questions than answers. Was it all a coincidence, a psychological response to stress, or did she encounter something truly otherworldly, something that wanted her attention? One thing is certain. Whatever happened in that Spanish apartment has stayed with her, and now it's with us too. Until next time, keep your lights on and your mirrors covered. You never know who or what might be watching.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.